Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for another rain-soaked day, dear Heavenly Father, for we know that you're nourishing the earth as you provide nourishment for us. Lord, I just thank you for Good Shepherd Baptist Church. Lord, I pray that you'll be with everybody here. Lord, I just pray as we approach these scriptures that you'll give me greater understanding, greater ability to communicate the word, dear Heavenly Father. And I just pray that with all that's within me and all that I have, that the name of Jesus will be lifted up above all, that lives will be challenged, lives will be changed, and souls will be saved through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. It's good to be here, Good Shepherd. And it's just one of those days I've just been really excited, looking forward to coming up here today to just let you know what the Lord is talking about and what he's speaking into my head. And it's just such a privilege to be here. If you would, please, turn your Bibles to the book of Judges. Turn your Bibles to the book of Judges. And because of the way that things are written in the Old Testament, lots of times it won't be necessarily a verse-by-verse exegesis, but it'd be more of a narrative, because we're going to cover chapter 17 and chapter 18. But it will be a narrative where we'll hit as my one professor used to say, we'll hit the salient points, we'll hit the high points, because there's a number of ways that you can approach these scriptures that will be good no matter how you do it. But today we just have the focus that the Lord has given me for today is where we're going to be at, and that's what we're going to spend our focus on. But like I said, there's many things that you can walk away from this text with. Then it reads, chapter 17. The book of Judges, chapter 17, and I will read verses 1 through 13, and then I will read chapter 18, verse 31 only. The book of Judges, chapter 17, from the King James Bible. And there was a man of Mount Ephraim, whose name was Micah, and he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. And his mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now, therefore, I will restore it unto thee. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had a house of gods and made an ephod and teraphim and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. And the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn, where he could find a place. And he came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, whence comest thou? And he said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place. And Micah said unto him, dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year and a suit of apparel and thy victuals. So the Levite went in, and the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah. Then said Micah, now, know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. Then we go to chapter 18, verse 31, and it reads, and they set them up Micah's graven image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Today we will be talking about the dangers of a DIY religion. Ushers, you may be seated. The dangers of a DIY religion. Before I start in on that, these last five chapters of the book of Judges, they're not in chronological order. The first 16 are in chronological order. So this is just something that helps you with your studies. They're not in chronological order. They're more written as appendices to the previous 16 chapters. So when you see them, in chapter 16, you're talking about Samson. So this is not after that. This is sometime during that course of the first 16 chapters. Nobody's really sure, but we do know that it's not in chronological order, and it just fits in there. It's kind of putting some detail in for you that you wouldn't have otherwise. The dangers of a DIY religion. In this day of technology, we got technology at our fingertips, y'all. It's a great temptation to delude ourselves into thinking that we never need a middleman. We don't need a middleman. We don't need a go-between. We don't need a go-between because, congregation, y'all help me out. What do the words DIY mean? Do it yourself. We don't need a middleman for anything because we can DIY. Amen. I sit sometimes with great angst with my wife and watch these TV shows where people tear houses down to next to nothing and then they do it themselves. They fix everything. Now, I've been in construction for quite a while, and I'm pretty handy, but I can't fix everything. To make matters worse for me, not for you, usually they'll have a woman doing it to make you look really, really like a punk because you can't do it. But that's the emphasis that we want you to know. It's easy. And then sometimes they even bring in the little kids. And the little kids are doing the painting and they're doing the this. And you're over there getting ready to cut your finger off on the saw. And the little kids, zoop, 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 zoop. No, everything is easy. You can do it yourself. Cars, motorcycles, whatever you need, you can do it yourself. Because of the internet, now I know none of y'all guilty of this. None of y'all guilty of this. You can even medicate yourself. You ain't feeling good? Type in www.drfeelgood.com. And somebody will give you some information that you can take this pill and take that pill and don't worry about it. And then you say, well, will this one have a reaction with that one? Don't worry. You go right there to that internet. You don't know who's on the internet, but you're going to do it yourself. They're even saying that there'll be fewer and fewer uses for doctors in the future because everybody's going to go to the internet to do it themselves. Well, I want you to know what we're going to talk about today. Since there's nothing new under the sun, we're going to talk about religion and do-it-yourself religion. Whole lot of do-it-yourself religion going around. Not just in America, worldwide. Do-it-yourself religion. Whatever you think is okay and whatever you think is good, that's religion. That's your religion. If you guys, you know, and I'm hoping that you guys are spending some time trying to witness to folks, trying to tell folks about Jesus Christ, giving folks the good news of Jesus Christ. And when you talk to them, have you ever got the response of, well, you know, I'm cool. You know, I got this. You know, I go to this and me or what I hear on my since I work construction. Me and the man upstairs, we got it all worked out. You know, I may cuss like a sailor, I might live like a pig, but Me and the man upstairs, we got this all worked out. And, you know, so don't, you know, I don't need any rules or regulations or anything. I'm okay. I got my own religion. I set up the standards. I change them when necessary. I'm in command. I'm in charge. It's my do-it-yourself religion. But today we're going to talk from chapter 17 and 18, because the Bible says, God says, I give you these things so that you don't have to make the same mistakes. See, doing your own do-it-yourself religion, you don't have to do that. If you want to know how it's going to end up, God will show you right here how's it going to end up. You don't need to experience everything for yourself. That's the love of God. God loves us so much that he gives us these things so that if you take the time to read his word, which is really just a love letter to you, if you'll take the time to read it, oh, what needless pain we can avoid just by reading the word, reading and heeding the word of God. Let's talk about a DIY religion. First part we're going to talk about five segments of these two chapters. We're going to talk about a DIY religion that's a recipe for disaster, a DIY religion and how it's always man-centered, a DIY religion which causes moral confusion, a DIY religion that you have to save your God, you got to hold on to your God, and a DIY religion that ultimately, they all ultimately lead to death. Let's start off with our first part. A DIY religion, recipe for disaster. A DIY religion, recipe for disaster. In chapter 17, verses 1 through 12, you have two main ingredients in your do-it-yourself religion that's a recipe for disaster. Two main ingredients. Mark these. Write these two down. You have false worship and a fake preacher. False worship and a fake preacher. Look here in these passages. And he starts off by telling you in chapter 17, verses 1 through 12. He goes, there's a man from Mount Ephraim. His name was Micah. And Micah, the first thing that you're introduced to is the fact that Micah and his mother, they both know the Lord, Jehovah. They know the one true and living God. They know him because they reference him. When you see those all capitals, L-O-R-D, they're talking about the one true and living God. Well, we're not exactly sure what came about, but we do know that at this point in the scriptures, Micah is walking into the room, and he says to his mother, he says, Mama, he says, how do you start this conversation? Mama, that 1,100 pieces of shekels, you know, let's just say $1,100 that you had sitting around, he says that 1,100 shekels of silver, which is a whole lot more than $1,100, you know that money that you had stashed over there, Mama? You know the money that you said, if I ever get my hands on that fool that stole my money, because that's what he said. He said, you cursed him. You cursed that person, Mama. You cursed him. And he said, well, Mom, I took it. I took it. He said, I stole your money. Now, this already tells you there's something going on in the household that's just not right. He said, I stole your money. You know, the money that you cursed the person who ever took it. He said, I took it. And then Mama, for whatever the reason, maybe he was a mama's boy, who knows, we don't know. But Mama says, oh, you're blessed, son. Maybe she's trying to take the curse off of him because she cursed him before God. She wanted whoever stole her money, she wanted bad things to happen. But now she changes her tune and she says, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. And she's talking about blessed be thou of the one true and living God, Yahweh. And when he had restored the money, he gave the money back to his mother. And his mother said, no, I want you to hang on to it. I want you to keep it. She says, because I set this money aside to make a graven image and a molten image for the Lord. And her son said, Mom, take the money. I don't want the money. I'm giving you back the money. We're talking about false worship. She's talking about dedicating this money and buying a graven image, making a graven image and a molten image. That means one is carved and one is poured for the one true and living God. But the one true and living God says, you don't make any graven images for me. So we have a problem here, because even in the church today, we have Christians who want to serve, or they believe they're serving the one true and living God, and they're bowing down to statues. And they think they're okay. Right here, Micah and his mama both thought they were okay, because we're going to make images for the one true and living God, who told you don't make images for me. So Mama takes a couple hundred pieces of silver and she sends it to the founder, and he makes her a graven image and a molten image. And then he tells you in verse 6, in verse 5, and the man Micah had a house of gods, plural, and made an ephod and teraphim and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. See, here's the problem. It was a problem then, and it's a problem now. Make up your mind who you're going to serve. See, Micah's got a house full of gods. You know, it's kind of like us. You know, I want a little bit of Hinduism. I want a little bit of yoga. I want a little bit of Buddha. I want a little bit of this. I was going to say a little bit of Islam, but right now nobody wants any of that. But everybody wants a little piece of some kind of religion, but nobody wants to stick with the one true and living God, who has done nothing but good for all of us. Nothing but good for all of us. I was talking to a young man the other day, and we were talking about Islam and Christianity. And so he said, do you read about Islam? You know, do you know the Quran? I said, of course not. Why would I waste my time reading that? The Bible says to me, I need to know a whole lot about good and just a little bit about evil. That's all. Because the devil is never constrained to what he teaches. He's never constrained. And that's why you've heard it before, but it's still one of the best illustrations. When they're teaching FBI agents how to recognize counterfeit money, they do not show them counterfeit money. They show them real money so that you will take the time so that when the false stuff pops up, you know, you may not know where it's fake, but you know it's fake. Amen. If we will take some time to read this book, which God is telling you, he's beseeching you, read this book. Well, that way, when the fake shows up, you'll know the truth. See, because the devil, one thing about the devil is he's just like a counterfeiter. You do know that the counterfeit money that they used to pass out back 20, 30 years ago, nobody uses that counterfeit money anymore. You bring out a counterfeit bill from 30 years ago, they'll have you in jail before you even get to the door. Everybody, that's fake. So what the counterfeiters always have to do is their religion got to evolve. It's got to evolve. But what do we know about our Savior? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, I change not. I ain't got to. When you got it right the first time, you ain't got to change. I change not. So here we have Micah, who says he's serving, him and his mama both say they're serving the one true and living God, but they've got a house full of gods. They got confusion. They got too much stuff in the house that you can't focus in on who you really supposed to serve, because you bowing down to this and bowing down to that, and a house full of gods. Unfortunately for us, sometimes it's our money. Sometimes it's our jobs. Sometimes it's our children. And we lift them up above God, where God says, do this and treat them this way and talk to them this way. And we say, well, Dr. Spock gave me a better way. No, we got to go to this book, because this book never changes. So therefore, whatever God said yesterday is true today. A recipe for disaster, false worship. Now, right after we talk about the false worship, I want you to, we'll talk about the false worship there, but I want you to take note of verse 6. Verse 6 is something, it's kind of just inserted in there. And you might say, I think the word that they use is parenthetically inserted in there. Verse 6 reads, in those days there was no king, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Understand that in the book of Judges, starting here, this phrase is in here 5 times. I think whenever you see something repeated 5 times in the Word of God, I think you need to take heed. I think you need to find out what he's talking about. He says, in those days, there was no king, and every man did that which is right in his own eyes. Now, for some strange reason, we here, especially in America, we feel that that's a wonderful thing. I'm just going to do religion the way I want to do religion. But what God is inferring here, this is bad. This is not a good thing. When there's no standard, when there's no leadership, when there's no definition, there's no defining of what's right and what's wrong, this is not a good thing. When you're saying, it's my thing, I'll do what I want to do, that's not a good thing unless you live on an island. But 5 times from this point on, you'll see that inserted. Just sort of, oh, by the way, there was no king in those days. And in that day, every man did that which is right in his own eyes. That's what happens with DIY worship. DIY worship is what the Lord told me to do X, Y, Z. Well, can you show me that in scripture? No, but the Lord told me, don't be lying on God. If God told you to do X, Y, Z, it will never contradict what is written in God's word. God is not spiritually schizophrenic. You may be, but God is not. False worship. It's one of the first things that you have with a DIY religion. Next thing is your second ingredient of your recipe for disaster is a fake preacher. We love us some fake preachers. My Lord, we love us some fake preachers. It reads here, verses 7 through 12. And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite. And he sojourned there, and the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place, and he came to Mount Ephraim to the house of Micah as he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, whence comest thou? And he said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place. And Micah said unto him, dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year and a suit of apparel and thy victuals. So the Levite went in. And the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah. How do you know you got a fake preacher? The Bible says you will know him by his fruit. You will know him by his fruit. You want to know if you got a fake preacher? What's this love letter you have? Stop going about how you feel and what you think, but start with what thus saith the Lord. If you want to find out if you got a fake preacher. I want you to take note of a couple things. Micah called the preacher. God didn't call the preacher. The Levite already had a job. Levites aren't wandering around looking for what to do. God's already got a job for them. He's already got a job for them at the temple and at the ark. But it says this preacher's walking around and he said, you know what? I'm just sort of wandering around looking to see if I could find me a good gig. You know, I ain't preached in a while and I got the voice. Got a little music in my voice. Maybe somebody will buy it. I can sing a little bit, do a little soft shoe. Maybe somebody will buy it. I can make people feel good. By the time y'all walk out of here, y'all be throwing money at the apostles' feet. Tell me, did he make us feel good? What did he preach? I don't know, but he made me feel good. Fake preacher. It's not that deep, y'all. Fake preacher. God has given you his criteria over in 1 Timothy 3. Who's a preacher? Who's not a preacher? It's not that deep. And it's not cultural, because this is a book that's cross-cultural. He says, in the garden, this is how it was. This is how it's set up. I got friends who got women preachers. I got male friends. I used to get mad at the women. She's just doing what she thinks she's supposed to be doing. But the man is not deceived. The Bible says man ain't deceived. I tell a man in a minute, you won't even listen to your own wife and you listening to his. What's wrong with that picture? What's wrong with that picture? It ain't in the book. That's what's wrong with that picture. It's called fake preacher. He's up there. He got ex-wife number one here, ex-wife number two here, ex-wife number three there, and girlfriend back here. Fake preacher. Pastor, how you say such things? Because it's in the book. Just read the book. If you want a recipe for disaster, just follow what Micah's doing and you'll get it. Micah has determined how he's going to worship. By the way, don't miss this. Don't miss this. Chapter 18, verse 31. We're going to go back to this from time to time. Chapter 18, verse 31. It reads, I'm just going to read part B. All the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. Put a pin in this. All the time that Micah is doing his shenanigans, he's doing all this stuff. He's hiring his fake preachers. He's doing his fake worship. God has got a place of worship in Shiloh that Micah knows about. But he don't want to have to do what God say. So all the while that the truth is available to him, he says, I'm going to DIY my religion. I'm going to do it myself. Not that the truth is not available to everybody. Because, hey, look, y'all. I got a secret for you. The gospel did not start in Arlington, Texas, or Grand Prairie, Texas, or America, or England. It started in Jerusalem, and God did not skip over all those people to bring the gospel to you and me. It's the same truth for everybody. That's why I love doing what I do. See, because when I preach, If you can't preach it everywhere, don't preach it anywhere. Because it's fake. It's fake. Because God's word is universal. God's word transcends every culture. Don't be telling me that cultural nonsense. God's word transcends everything. But if you do it yourself, religion, you have some things that make give you some cultural primacy. I like that word. I stole that from one of my brothers in here. I'll leave him nameless. He's over here laughing. Cultural primacy. Fake worship. He says, he bought old boy for 10 shekels and a shirt. He cut a deal with the preacher. He cut a deal with the preacher. He said, look here. Did he ask the preacher, was he saved? See, people, they bring in preachers to candidate for them. You know, I've been part of that process. You know, they bring a preacher in and they let him hoop, holler, spit, slobber, whatever he does. They have you fill out all this stuff. But guess what? Nobody ever bothers to ask you, are you saved? Nobody ever says, is he saved? He could preach. Ooh, he could preach. Ooh, he could sing. Is he saved? Does anybody care if the man actually believes the Bible? Does anybody care anymore? Or is pragmatism the name of the game? As long as we can get this program through and get this program through, and we got a bunch of kids going kumbaya. You know, if that's the criteria for a good preacher, then you set yourself up for a fake preacher in a fake worship situation. If he was a real preacher in this text, the first thing he would have told Micah is them fake gods got to go. All those images, all those idols, all those things of worship other than the one true and living God, they got to go. See, because God doesn't compromise on his truth. See, because Jesus just didn't halfway die. He all the way died. There wasn't no compromise there, y'all. So how can we so willy-nilly, so easily say, well, you know, that's just not a big, eternal security, that's not a big deal. Jesus is the only way. Well, what about those people over there who believe all those other things? You know, Pastor, you know, God, as long as they're good, where'd you get that from? Not out the book. When you find somebody living, be they your mama, your daddy, your children, your brothers, your sisters, your friends, when you find them living outside of this book, outside of what God has clearly spoken, when you find them in that scenario, don't try to make excuses for them. Start praying for them. Start praying that God will straighten them out. Because don't forget, all the time all this stuff is going on, the truth is still there to be found. No matter how far gone anybody gets, they can go off into the most abstract religion that they can think of. Doesn't matter. God says, if at any point in time, if they'll just turn, if they'll just call on the name of the Lord. See, that's a real God. That's a good God right there. He goes, if they'll just call on the name of the Lord, if they'll just confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, they shall be, not maybe, not we got to investigate them, they shall be saved. That's good news. That's good news. Because some of us can live some awful lives. We don't want you to know what all we done. We don't want you to know. All I want you to know is this. I once was blind. once I couldn't see the forest for the trees. I once was blind. But now, praise God, now I see. The scales are off. I see. And now all I want to do is tell other folks the good news of Jesus Christ. I want to get them out of that fake worship with those fake preachers. You know them by their fruits. A Second part. First, we talked about DIY religion, recipe for disaster. Now we talk about DIY religion is always man-centered. Another way of saying man-centered religion is humanism. Humanism, it sounds so wonderful. Man, it's just, it's, you know, love your brother, treat everybody right, save the dogs, save the whales, save the cats, save everything but the babies. But it sounds so good overall, y'all. I mean, it's pretty good stuff. In verse chapter 17, verse 13, look at what it says. After Micah got his fake worship and his fake preacher, look what he says. Then said Micah, now I know that the Lord would do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. He said, man, I done hired all the right folks. I done read all the right books. I got the right praise and worship team. I'm good to go. God is going to do me good. Recipe for disaster. See, all of your DIY religions are just a glorified self-help program. That's it. It's a glorified self-help program. Let me see if I can help you with this. How do I know if it's really what the book teaches or not? Because when you go on, I'm going to tell you, when you go on TV, when you go to try to find sound biblical preaching on TV, there's some there. Don't you fool yourself. There's some there. But to find sound biblical preaching on TV that you're going to grow and mature in your faith with, it's almost like finding a chicken with teeth. It's real close. It's real close. Now, there's some there, and there's some good ones out there. And I'm here to tell you, even the bad ones, if they read the Bible, folks are going to get saved. Because it's the word of God. It ain't the preaching, the teaching. It's the word of God. But here's how you can tell whether it's God-ordained or if it's man-centered. If it's man-centered, here's how it works. I get blessed so that God is glorified. If it's man-centered, I get blessed so that God is glorified. If it's God-centered, God's get glorified, and I get blessed. You see the difference? It's just a little shift of your emphasis. If God blesses me, I'll give him the glory. But what the Bible teaches, because God says, I will be glorified. And here's how it works in the Bible. We glorify him. And as a result of us lifting up Jesus, and as a result of us glorifying God, guess what? God blesses us. God is under no obligation to anybody. It's just what he does. But he says, you give me the praises, and I'll shower you with the blessings. We want to say to him, show me something, God. You know, hey, you know. It was blasphemous, but I thought it was pretty cool because my mind shows you where mine was at. But the Jesus Christ Superstar, years ago, you know, it was a Broadway play and everything. And I listened to every word of it. And I thought it was pretty cool, but that's because primarily because I wasn't reading this. I was caught up in the DIY project. And they had a scene in there where the guy who's playing Pilate, he's singing, he said, if you are the Christ, the great Jesus Christ, you prove to me that you're divine, change my water into wine. That's all you need to do, and we'll know it's all true. Come on, Jesus, King of the Jews. See, and that's how a lot of us are with God.
Hey, if you really got, come on, show me something. Show me. Give me a little song and dance, God. Show me something. Wait a minute. When you got up this morning, that wasn't enough? When you stepped out that bed and headed to your rest, that wasn't enough? When you took your first breath, that wasn't enough? What I got to show you? When I let my son go to the cross that you might have eternal life while you were yet my enemy, what I got to show you? I've shown you as much love as I could possibly show you. Love is an action. Love is not a squishy, 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 squishy feeling with God. It's an action. God said, I gave. Because I loved, I gave. Not because I loved, I felt. I loved and I gave my son. That whoever, and that includes everybody, y'all, worldwide, international, whoever believes on the name of Jesus shall be saved. Oh, what a good God. DIY religion is always man-centered. Keep in mind, all the time that you're thinking about, I heard a preacher tell somebody, he said, well, you know, this person was not, he wasn't under good teaching and good preaching, and therefore he couldn't make wise decisions, and on and on and on and on. But don't forget, the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 19, whenever you're trying to excuse somebody's sinful behavior, or even if you're trying to excuse your own sinful behavior, John 3, 19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You turn on your TV, and in the news today, everybody's trying to figure out, how did this person get radicalized? How did this happen? What happened to because they can no longer say, see, they used to, the psychology, man's psychology, see, psychology is coming to the end of itself, y'all. It's man's way of trying to explain sin, and you can't explain sin. But so psychology, it used to say, well, it still does say in many instances, it's because people are poor, because people are uneducated. I was looking at one of these boys from ISIS. This boy had perfect pearl white teeth. This man could speak two or three languages. This man was not poor. This man was not uneducated, but yet and still he's sitting there telling me, I'm going to kill you. Well, where did he get radicalized? What happened to him? Who did it to him? Could it possibly be that the light has come into the world? And men prefer the darkness. I mean, is that it? Or is that possibility taken off the table? The book of James says, the reason that we war, and he's talking about everybody, is not because we've been radicalized. It's because we want something, and somebody else has got it, and we're going to take it. It's not deep. Stop trying to make it deep. Sin is not deep. It's just what I wanted to do at the time. It seemed like a good idea at the time. DIY religion is always man-centered. DIY religion causes moral confusion. Chapter 18, verses 1 through 21. Chapter 18, verses 1 through 21. There we see that phrase again at the beginning of chapter 18. In those days, there was no king in Israel. And in those days, the tribes of Danites sought them an inheritance to dwell in, for unto that day, all their inheritance had not fallen unto them among the tribes of Israel.
excuse me, a DIY religion causes confusion. He says there was no king in those days. And during this time period, you notice back in the book of Joshua, Joshua had divided all the land among the 12 tribes of Israel. And the land that the Danites, who we're talking about here in chapter 18, the land that the Danites were given by God, God said, but you're going to have to go get the land. And so the Danites were given the land where the Amorites dwell. And the Amorites, the Bible says, the Amorites were too strong for them. The Amorites were too big of a fight. They were too big of a fight. So the Danites backed off, even though God told them, this is your land, this is your property, but they backed off because it was hard. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? You know good and well God told you to do this, and you chose to do that because this was a little bit more difficult than what I planned on. What you're going to see is when we stop doing what God tells us to do, it causes moral confusion. It makes it so that we have a very difficult time thinking right on other issues because we've already rejected what God has clearly said to do, and we just kind of numb. And it reads, verse 2, chapter 18, verse 2 in the King James Bible. And the children of Dan sent of their families 5 men from their coasts, men of valor from Zorah and from Eshtol, to spy out the land and to search it. And they said unto them, go search the land, who when they came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, they lodged there. When they were by the house of Micah, they knew the voice of the young man, the Levite, and they turned in thither and said unto him, who brought thee hither? And what makest thou in this place, and what hast thou here? And he said unto them, thus and thus dealeth Micah with me, and hath hired me, and I am his priest. Now, we're going to go back to the fake preacher. Because here, the Danites come in, and they recognize this guy's voice some way, shape, or form. They recognize that he's a Levite, and they say, what are you doing here? And he says, well, I cut a deal to preach over here. And they're like, in this house of gods, all these fake gods are? And yeah, but I cut a deal, 10 shekels in a shirt, and they hired me, and here I am. Yeah, here I am. So they talked to him for a little bit. And then they asked him, they said, well, since you're a fake preacher anyhow, why don't we ask you, is God going to prosper our way? And the fake preacher said, sure, certainly. Certainly. You can do that. Just go on down there and God will prosper you. And the priest said, verse 6, and the priest said unto them, go in peace before the Lord is your way, before the Lord is your way wherein ye go. Then it says, the 5 men departed and came to Laish and saw the people that were therein, how they dwelt careless, after the manner of the Zidonians, quiet and secure, and there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything, and they were far from the Zidonians and had no business with any man. Church, I'm going to take a minute here just to kind of just go off to the side a little bit. Not far, but just a little bit. I see this as a warning to my nation. See, these Danites, they've already decided that their God has told them, the fake preacher told them, they're on track. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And so their preacher has told them, this is all right. And when they get there, they find these people sitting, careless. That means not a care in the world. Living bountifully, minding their own business. And he says, and by the way, they're kind of connected to the Zidonians, but they're not close enough to get any help if they really need any help. And right there, You'll see a little bit later on, they purpose to take their land and put them to the edge of the sword.
Why?
That's not the land God told them to take. But they see a soft target. They see a people who are sitting unaware, minding their own business, prosperous. See, because as long as we're making money and nobody's kicking down our door, many in the church are very okay. Now, they're kicking down other people's doors. They're taking other people's freedoms in America. But as long as they're not at my house, okay. You got this whole land here, the people of Laish. They're okay. They're minding their own business. But the spies looked at their land. That's the first wave of folks. The spies looked at their land and said, we can do this. We can do this because they're just sort of laying there. We can do this. Were they radicalized? No. It's just they saw something that they wanted. The Bible tells you real clear. Why do we war? Because somebody has something I want, and I'm going to take it. It's not deep. Prepare yourself, church. Spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only way that you're going to change this world and any folks who come into this nation is going to beat them with the sword of the Lord. You got to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you got to get busy. See, we still like to have our little holy huddles here in church and slap each other and talk to our neighbor. Church, you better get busy. Folks are coming into your nation who mean no good for you. Look, if they meant no good for your nation when they were in their own nation, what makes you think they're going to mean good for you when they come into your nation? They've already made a vow to destroy Israel. I'm not making it up. Look it up for yourself. Look for easy targets. But don't be afraid, because even in the midst of the false worship and the fake preachers, you got a God who has said there's nothing too hard for him. And our lips are his tool of choice. And we need to spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. That's for old folks, middle-aged folks, teenagers at school, even the ones who just started to talk. You got to tell somebody about Jesus. DIY religions. Moving on. We're going down here a little bit further in chapter 18. And we see where the priest, the preacher had told them that God, the God that he served, had given the land to the Danites. But I want you to kind of focus in on chapter 18, verses 22 through 29. First, we talked about a DIY religion, recipe for disaster. You got two main ingredients, fake worship, fake preacher. DIY religion is always man-centered. A DIY religion causes moral confusion. Oh, by the way, I want to hit just one more thing on that. With the moral confusion, these folks felt they were absolutely right in going in there and taking the land of the Danites. So when you have your own religion, you can do whatever you want. It will either end up with no rules, too many rules, or arbitrary rules. That's a sign of a DIY religion. No rules, too many rules, or arbitrary rules. You just sort of make them as you go. So now let's get on down here to the fourth one. In chapter 18, verses 22 through 29. And a DIY religion. Y'all don't know how much humor is in the Bible. This is humorous. This is good stuff. In a DIY religion,
you have to save your God.
This is some good stuff, I'm telling you. I'm not making this up. I'm not making this up. It's right here in the book. It's right here in the book. What happened was the Danites came in. They found the fake preacher, and they asked him to bless them. He told them that they're going to do good. And so basically what they did when they came back, after they spied out the land and they came back, and they got the fake preacher, and they said to the fake preacher, they said, come on, we want you to roll with us. And the fake preacher, he tries to step up to him and says, hey, you know, what are you doing? You're coming in here, you're taking my ephod, and you're taking my little molten image, and you're taking all my stuff. And they says, shut up. That's another way you tell a fake preacher. Tell him, shut up. And he shut up. And they said, we're going to make a deal for you. What's better, being a preacher for one family or a whole tribe? Well, not being a dummy, I told you he's a fake preacher. Follow the money. See, that's when you get a thing from your pastor. He says, well, y'all, I prayed about it. You know, he's pastoring about 500 people. Lord, I prayed about it. And I think, Lord, the placed it on my heart. This 2,000-member church, they called me. It's hard to leave y'all. Peace out. I'm gone. Fake preacher, when they got him, they said, what should you rather do? You want to pastor a family or you want to pastor a whole tribe? He grabbed all of his stuff, and the Bible says he was glad. He gathered up all his fake idols and stuff, and he said, come on, let's roll. We're going to get up out of here. We're going to roll. But now comes the time where Micah, now this is where you got to save your own God, when you got a DIY God, when you got DIY religion. And Micah comes in, you know, kind of like the Calvary. And he's got the 600 armed Danites, 600 armed men. And Micah boldly steps up and says, hey, what are you doing with my fake gods and my fake preacher? Well, that's not exactly what he said. He said, what are you doing with what are you doing here? What are you doing here? You're taking my stuff. You're taking my gods. See, we don't never have to worry about that, see, because our God keeps us. Our God says, I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Our God says, you see those fake gods? They don't have hands. They got hands that can't hold you. They got feet that can't follow you. They got eyes that can't see you. But our God, he gives you that love that surpasses understanding, that peace. No fake God can give you that peace, y'all. And Micah, he said, give me my gods back. And one of the boys from the 600 armed men, he turned around, and he looked at him, he said, you better shut up. That's modern day paraphrase. He said, you might anger somebody here and get yourself hurt. You hear me? You keep talking crazy to 600 armed men, there's a pretty good chance you're liable to get yourself hurt. So you better let us take your fake gods and your fake preacher, and you get on out of here with your fake self. A DIY religion always requires you to have to save your God. You got to hang on to your God. You got to defend your God. You got to kill folks because of your God. My God died for me. I ain't got to die for him. When I was talking to the boy about the difference between Islam and Christianity, and he had asked me about whether I had read the Quran, and I was, no. I said, all I have to do is look at the founders. All I have to do is look at the founders of both religion, and I can tell you which one's real, which one's fake. Okay? Exhibit A, Muhammad. Muhammad was a warrior. He was a very successful warrior. And Muhammad, when he came into a town, Muhammad gave people three choices. He said, you can either convert to Islam, you can pay tribute, or you can die. Those are your options. That hasn't changed, y'all. That hasn't changed. That's still today. So the people who are doing what they're doing today are being faithful to the founder of their religion. Okay? That's what Muhammad did. Jesus Christ came
Let's see. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He gave sight to the blind. And he offered eternal life. And he said he'd pay the price. And he said that is for whosoever will. Now, he said Islam's not the worst thing that ever come along. He said everybody's got somebody that they're following. But what I want the people in Islam and Hindu and Buddhist and yoga, I want everybody to look at the founder of Christianity. First off, see if you can find any fault. See if you can find any fault with him. And then I want you to honestly say to me, I want you to honestly think. I'm gonna toss in the folks. I got to offend everybody today. I want to toss in the folks who follow Joseph Smith. I want to toss in the Jehovah's Witnesses. I want to toss in the, if my brother's listening, the Divine Institute of Metaphysical Research. That's a long story. I'll tell you about that later. I toss them all in, and I say, is not Christ better? Is not Christ better? Now, you got your stuff, and I'm not going to argue with you about your stuff, but I just want you to lift up your stuff, and I'm going to lift up Jesus, and I want you to take an honest assessment. Is not Christ better? And everybody else, Roman Catholicism, all of them, you're trying to work your way into heaven, and you cannot do it. Every fake religion. There's something you got to do to work your way into heaven. Every single one of them. And by the way, all the time that this was going on, all that time, the house of God was still in Shiloh. God had still left a witness. God had still told him there's a place that you can come and get it right. Jesus says, whosoever call on the name of the Lord, you shout, there's a way out, y'all. Though your sins be like scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. There is a way out. You cannot pay for it. You don't have enough money. You don't have enough blood. You are not a perfect sacrifice. There's only one. And his name is Jesus. And we have to constantly lift him up. Lift him up. Just, and when they say lift him up, we're not trying to puff him up. We're just trying to let people see him. We got to get out the way so that, you know, because they keep saying, well, what about you? What about me? I'm not the standard. I got to lift up Jesus. I got issues. What's wrong with you? Talking about what about me? Last thing we're going to talk about. A DIY religion. Ultimately leads to death. Oftentimes it's death, physical death here, but what I'm talking about is eternal death. A do-it-yourself religion is going to get you eternal death, separated from God. A God who loves you. A God who sent his son to die for you and me that we might have life. That's so hard for me to, after we offended him, he offered us life. That's just hard for me to wrap my mind around, y'all. That's hard. But he goes, will you please just keep telling people? Because people don't get it the first time. They might not get it the second time. They might not get it the third time. Just keep telling them. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, and it didn't start here in Grand Prairie. It's not an American thing. It's not a European thing. It's not a Chinese thing. It's a God thing, that whosoever would believe on him should not perish. And what they sang in that, what they sang earlier today, when they sang, do you got good religion? When that faith comes in you, when that truth gets in you, you cannot not tell people about Jesus.
when there has really been a change in your life. You may be scared to death of witness to somebody, but you know what? You're going to open your mouth. It's like the old song said I wasn't going to testify, but I couldn't keep it to myself. Sometimes I feel so bad for people at the family reunions because I tell my kids I'm going to be my best behavior. I'm not going to go in and get into an argument with anybody about Jesus today. I'm on my best behavior, and I just walk in the door and somebody say something crazy, and I got to tell them about Jesus. That's what happens, y'all. And I know God has filled you. And I know that if you just yield more to him, you don't have to get any more Holy Ghost in you. You don't have to get any more in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. You got to let him have more of you. That's all. Yield yourself. Yield your members. And get away from trying to control God and let God control. You know, we like to parcel out to God. Okay, God, I'm going to give you this much time this week. Why don't you try it this way? God, how much time are you going to let me have this week? And I guarantee you, he'll blow your mind. A DIY religion ultimately, verses 30 and 31, a DIY religion ultimately results in death. Verses 30 and 31. And the children of Dan set up the graven image, and Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, he and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. And they set them up Micah's graven image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. God had given them the land of the Amorites. They decided that was too hard. God had told them, I'm the one true and living God. You worship me over here in Shiloh. That's what he had told the people back then. You worship me here in Shiloh. They said, we're not going to do that. We're going to make some images just like what we used to, just like in the old times. We're going to make some images, and we're going to bow down to those images. We're going to serve you, God, but we're going to serve you the way we want to serve you. That sounds like the church 2015. We're going to worship you, Lord. We're going to praise you, Lord. But, hey, you know, I got to love everybody. So that means I got to love a homosexual preacher. I got to love a homosexual choir director. I got to love homosexual. And not only got to love them, I got to bring them into the church and let them do what they want to do. I got to marry them. God says, if they show up at your church, you tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. Okay? If they come to the church, if they come to your house, you tell them, here's what thus saith the Lord. That's what you tell them. And you don't waver. You don't waver. If you love them, you don't waver. If you don't care anything about their eternal salvation, then you start going alone to get along. Then you join the fake preacher with the fake worship and the fake witness. Because God has got, don't forget, he says, all the time the truth was available in Shiloh. There is a balm in Gilead. There is a truth to be known. And God made it so that the whole world, check your calendar. It says 2015 AD. The whole world is based on the life and death of one man. Time itself is based on the life and who was this man? Who is this man? How important is this man? And how much more do I need to know about this man? This man is Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. They sang it so well today when they said, he's the lover of my soul. And there's not one person out here that doesn't apply to. But he says, in the condition you're in now, and don't know, nobody knows what condition you're in but you and God. That's what I just love God. He's so good. Nobody knows but you and him. And he says, in the condition that you're in right now, you're unacceptable.
If you have never professed faith in my son, Jesus Christ, if you've never confessed that with your mouth and believed it in your heart, you are. I don't care what any Unitarian tells you. I don't care what a yoga tells you. I don't care what a Buddha tells you. I don't care what anybody else tells you. You are unacceptable. You are just like that thief on the cross. He had crossed the line of society, and he was no longer fit for living in society, and he's hanging up there on the cross. He ain't fit to be down here with the folks, and he ain't ready to go to heaven to be with God. He can't, because he wasn't fit until at some point he had to change his mind about Jesus. I'm asking y'all today, change your mind about Jesus. Change your mind about do-it-yourself religion. God's got a good one. He's got a good faith. He's got a good faith already prepared. He said, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Bam, you shall be saved. That's a good faith. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, when the thief on the cross was hanging there between heaven and earth, and he knew he had problems. And he said to Jesus, remember me. Man, I wonder how long he had his own religion, y'all. He didn't need nobody. He didn't need nobody. He was a gangster. He was a show enough. And there he was hanging between heaven and earth and on his way to hell. Not too much unlike folks that I'm talking to in here, online, on the job. Ain't fit for this place and ain't ready for the next. And he said, remember me. It was a plea. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And I don't think Jesus said, were you a Baptist? Were you American? Were you African? Were you Chinese? Were you British? He doesn't give that kind of test, y'all. The only test he gives everybody is, are you going to keep calling me a liar or not? I said I came to save you, and if it's true, you need to bow down. And if it's not true, you need to get up and walk out of here. Close your Bible, never read it again. But if you believe it, he says, come. Don't do it yourself. Don't do your own religion. He says, would you come? God bless you.